It's the newest thing in radio interviewing. It's walkie-talkie with Don Norman. Rounding out a week of interviews with Hollywood gossip columnist, your walkie-talkie show today is broadcasting direct from the famous Hollywood Brown Derby, where our special guest is the equally famous Jimmy Starr. And here, ready to make with the questions, is Mr. Walkie-talkie himself, Don Norman.
Thank you, Burley. Jimmy Starr is here, too. I don't think we have to tell anybody who you are, but if I don't, you won't go on.
Well, thank you, Don. It's awfully nice being here, particularly in a place where I've been the last 20 years, at least once a day.
You got a meal ticket here. That's how you get in.
No, I haven't anymore. We used to have one. But they cut that out when the war started.
I got to give your paper a plug.
All right, give my paper a plug.
Jimmy Starr, motion picture editor of the Herald Express here in Los Angeles. And his column is also syndicated from coast to coast. What a man. He's got a column in London, too, the Evening Standard. Isn't that right?
That's right, Don. Thank you.
What's the difference between that column in London and the one here?
Well, for London, because the Englishman over there may not know exactly what we're talking about in Hollywood, I try to delocalize some of the names that might mean a great deal over here but mean nothing in London or any other part of England.
What names mean a lot in England?
Well, naturally, the British colony that happened to be over here, like C. Aubrey Smith, Merle Oberon, Basil Rathbone, Nigel Bruce, and the people that have originally come from London or some parts of England.
Jimmy, how long have you been doing a column here in Hollywood?
Since 1925, when I started back on the old Los Angeles Record, which is now extinct and was eventually absorbed by what is now the Daily News.
Well, then you're a piece of Hollywood. There's no doubt about that.
Well, they have said that many times, and I have gone to pieces.
Can you get into pictures, Jim, by doing something crazy or unusual?
Yes, I think you can. Several girls have tried throwing themselves in front of automobiles, jumping off of the famous Hollywoodland sign, of which the H has recently fallen down, and I'm going up there one morning and repair it, because it's beginning to annoy me that we can't spell out here.
I think we ought to tell them what that is. That's a big sign that you can see from all over Hollywood that says, Utah.
Hollywoodland.
Yes.
It was originally a real estate promotion scheme, and about the only thing they did was put up the sign. I don't think they sold any lots after that.
Ken, would you recommend, if somebody wants to get into pictures, would you recommend somebody doing something crazy or unusual to get in?
Yes, you can. You can attract attention, but of course that has sort of gone out of fad, you might say, or vogue, because in the early days when you failed after doing something crazy, you could always get into vaudeville. But with the passing of vaudeville, there isn't much left for you to do after you fail. In the picture business, someone just shouted over that you can get into radio. Of course, that does help.
Tell me, I guess most of the people in Hollywood are eligible if all you have to be is crazy.
It helps. It helps very much.
Well, you've been grading pictures and writing about pictures for a great many years now. It's over 20.
Yes.
How do you grade a picture, Jim?
Well, first of all, I've always looked at a picture this way, in which I believe that no one ever started out to make a bad picture. I'm sure that no producer in the business ever felt that he should make a bad picture just to try to make some money. So there's always a sincere effort when anyone starts to make a picture, no matter how much money he spends on it, whether it's $10,000 or $10 million, he's still trying to make the best picture that may win the Academy Award. So personally, I hate to see a poor picture. There's nothing that annoys me so much because I like pictures. I see on an average of something like 325 pictures a year. And when you look at that many, which is almost one a day, you have to like them to be able to stand that many.
Do you have a family, Jim?
No, just Mrs. Starr, four dogs, a squirrel that we like very much called Sweet Uncle Second, a duck, a rabbit, and, I don't know, some neighbors' kids that seem to be our pets right now.
How does your family agree with you on your choice of pictures?
No, not always. Mrs. Starr particularly has a lot of very personal resentments toward certain stars, and she will not go to see them under any circumstances. She doesn't particularly like the comedians I like or some of the dramatic actresses.
What do you do if you're invited to, say, that person's home, one person out of that group? You're both invited. Then what happens?
She stays home.
Really?
Yes. You bet your life. She wouldn't go if to anybody's house she doesn't like, and there's nothing you can do about it. She's very decided in her decisions.
Does she treat you the same way?
Sometimes, like all wives do.
Jim, when you have a vacation, what do you do? What's your idea of a vacation?
Well, the perfect vacation to me is to go to New York and spend 2 weeks looking at all of the shows which I think will be made into motion pictures, so that when they are finally transferred to the screen, that I have some knowledge of what the original was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last year or a year ago in February when I was in New York, I saw 17 shows in 14 days. And most of those shows have since been made into pictures, and I can certainly make a fairly accurate comparison in whether the adaptation was proper and whether I thought that they gained anything by transferring the original to the screen.
I know you're a motion picture critic. I don't know about your work with stage plays. Do you do any of that?
Occasionally, I certainly comment on them, particularly when there is a picture personality in the play. Now, naturally, Ethel Barrymore, who divides her time between stage and screen, it's interesting to see her do a stage play and then come out to Hollywood and win an Academy Award in a picture with Cary Grant.
Did you used to be an auctioneer? How can you keep talking like this? There are at least 50 people all standing around, moving in and out of our booth, moving around us, leaning over, whispering things, and he goes right on talking. How'd you get all this experience?
I was vaccinated by a Victrola needle.
Jim, tell me, when one of your relatives wants to get into pictures, what do you tell him?
I discourage them very much. I tell them the same thing I would tell any newcomer, that it's a very tough racket. If you want to call it a racket, it's a very tough business. It's discouraging at the most. If it's an actress or someone that thinks they should be an actress, I tell them to go out and get all the experience they can in little theaters or small parts. Or if it's someone who wants to get in the newspaper business, I tell them to go into a country newspaper and learn every phase of the business from topography on up.
Well, you sound like that's easy to do, get a job in the country newspaper.
Well, it is fairly so if you want to work hard. And, of course, everybody comes out here with the idea that they can make easy money. But it's a long, long struggle.
Well,
it's a very tough struggle.
Have you discovered any talent? How do you go about it?
Well, that's quite by accident, I think. I mean, I can say that I found Clark Gable because I gave him his first write-up when he was appearing in The Last Mile at the Majestic Theater. And I tried to sell him to Daryl Zanuck that night when I took Mr. Zanuck to the theater. And Zanuck said he didn't have any talent. So finally, through a press agent working for Pathé, I managed to get him a job as a heavy with a Bill Boyd picture called The Painted Desert. And Clark had to have his teeth fixed and also learn to ride a horse within a period of 2 weeks. And from that picture, an agent by the name of Minna Wallace, who is Hal Wallace's sister, grabbed him up and signed him to Warner Brothers, the original studio in which I had tried to place him. So that shows you how you find people.
Yeah, you're too modest, though. You have a stage show of your own every year. I was trying to lead into that, how you discover talent. Oh, be so modest. Will you get
a
new pitch?
Once a year, I do a stage show, either at the Orpheum, the Paramount, or Lowe's State, in which, besides introducing a lot of the well-known stars, I also try to have what I call the best bets of the year. And by that, I mean by picking a little girl who can probably sing as well as Betty Hutton, but hasn't had the chance, or a dancer who can dance as well as Eleanor Powell, but hasn't had the opportunity to show her talents. We invite them down and combine them with all the big, important people, and that way they usually get a job. In fact, over the 100 acts that I had last year at the Orpheum, 25 of them have already been rehired by the Orpheum during this last year.
How about that? You got them all signed a contract?
I gain nothing out of it. Some of them don't even thank me.
Well, in picking types, can you look at people like these people around here and say, there's a type for movies? This man sitting right here, for example, is he a type?
Yes, I could use him either as a loan man in a bank or a chap that might have an interest in Santa Anita.
You know who he is?
I haven't the slightest idea.
Don Searle, this is Jimmy Starr. He's the vice president of the Blue Network.
Hello, Don. No,
the American Broadcasting
Company. American Broadcasting
Company. You do well at Santa
Anita.
Well,
he probably has something to do with Santa Anita, because if he's got anything to do with American Broadcasting Company, he must have... Well, that's fine. How did you do?
Lost on the first five and bet on gold mine.
Typical radio man. You can't hear him. He sits 8 feet away, see? And he tells us not to do those things. See how it goes? Jimmy, you're quite an author.
Oh, here it comes now.
I'd like to know something about that. As a newcomer out here, what have you written?
Well, I've recently, in the last 2 years, I've written a mystery book a year. The first one was The Corpse Came COD, which I wrote quite by accident because I like to write mysteries. and I had no idea anyone was going to publish it. It was evidently went over so well. Liberty bought it and put it into a condensation. The pocketbooks bought it. New Zealand, Australia bought it and put it in their small books. And that, naturally, the publisher said, you must write another one. So I have a new one that came out in March called Three Short Beers, B-I-E-R-S. And I'd better explain that because we're not allowed to plug those things over the air. A beer, in this case, is a casket.
Where'd you get the title, Three Short Beers, B-I-E-R-S?
Well, there are three midgets murdered in Hollywood while making a motion picture. And so that seemed like the most logical title. In fact, I had the title first before I had the plot.
Well, after visiting every major studio in Hollywood over a period of more than 20 years and knowing every important star of the same period, why do you write about murders and corpses?
Well, I always include all my friends in my murder mysteries. In fact, I have real characters running all through them. And on the first book, I forgot to get permission from the people that I mentioned, and a couple of them wanted to cause trouble because they thought they had something to do with the mystery. But I eventually talked them out of it in one of my fast-talking routines, you know?
I don't think anyone can doubt by now but what Jimmy Starr can talk fast. How about some of your scoops, Jim?
Scoops are arrived, I think, principally from jealous women and frustrated sweethearts.
Wait a minute, say this slowly.
Why?
Scoops, jealous,
yes.
Women, what do you mean?
Well, a woman will tattle on another woman because she's jealous, and she will phone immediately to the first columnist that she thinks of or one that she likes particularly, and in that way you get a pretty good scoop. A frustrated sweetheart or one that's been turned down will also phone you very quickly and say, my boyfriend is running away with so forth and so on to Las Vegas. And they're the best sources of scoops. A jealous woman is the swellest source in the world, and I love jealous women.
How many jealous women do you know?
About 300.
Honestly, this is a pleasure all week. Such frankness. I thought I was a little dubious when we first started talking about doing this series with five columnists this week, but such frankness is amazing.
Well, I think this is a wonderful idea, Don. First of all, the ad-lib spirit of the thing is the spirit of Hollywood to begin with, and I think you're doing a very, very fine thing in catching people, supposedly, shall we say, off guard.
I caught you off guard.
Yes, several times. It's perfectly all right. You know, I think it's a good idea, and I think the audience will like it.
Well, I think they'll like you. Well, how would you describe Hollywood very briefly, just a few seconds, can you?
Very briefly in a few seconds. I've seen it change so much, so I have so many opinions now that it's hard to describe it in a few seconds because it has changed over 20 years so that you can't describe it anymore.
It's an amazing city.
Right.
Today we've interviewed Jimmy Starr, motion picture editor of the Herald Express. His column appears in scores of other papers and, of course, over in London. Next week, we'll be in the city of San Fernando. Have a nice weekend. Goodbye, Burley.
You've been listening
Thanks,
to Walkie Talkie with Don Norman, originating today from the Hollywood Brown Derby, where our special guest has been columnist Jimmy Starr. Listen to Walkie Talkie with Don Norman Monday at 3:15 over most of these stations.
Say, folks, ever hear about mail call? That's when the fellas overseas get their letters from home, friends, and sweethearts. And believe you me, mail call is the high spot that outranks all but a furlough in building our men's morale. And you can get your letters to your servicemen fast by using V-mail. V-mail is ideal for brief, frequent letters. The V-mail form has room for at least 200 handwritten words or about 500 typewritten words. It's private, too. A microfilmed V-mail letter is the size of a postage stamp and impossible to read. And the letters are processed so fast, 1,500 an hour, that privacy is assured. Furthermore, V-mail is inexpensive. It flies overseas for only 3 cents. And for your information, V-mail forms are on sale at most stores or may be obtained free, 2 forms at a time, at every post office. So write often. Write to that man or girl in service today and use V-mail. This is the American Broadcasting Company.